I'm talking about last week. Do a quick review up to where we are. If a person's already willing to change their mind and finally have some sense and really go for the truth and really wake up, your only responsibility is to be happy for them. Like if I tell you I'm getting ready to get on my spiritual path and I'm going to go toward the truth, your only responsibility is to rejoice with me. But if you're around people who don't understand the truth, which of course is somebody who doesn't recognize that they're the ones that's creating what's happening to them, then you're there to represent another choice that they've forgotten about. And then there's some things you're supposed to say in your mind while you're around them, but not verbally. And what you say when you're around them is you basically say to the person, I want you to take a look at what life can offer you. And when you rather have what life could offer you instead of this. Okay, so let me get straight. So you're upset about your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your job or whatever. And my job is to represent another choice by being around you thinking, you know, wouldn't you rather make a better choice? Don't you really want what life or love would offer you? And I'm doing that mentally because I'm there just to represent another choice. Then he says, now, it's very important that you do not at once the advanced teacher of God, consider the forms of sickness in which the person believes. So I don't care what you're upset about. We're not ever supposed to be concerned about what the thing is that's bothering the person or what they're concerned about. Because if you focus on the form of what somebody's upset about, you're forgetting that it's all the same. Does that make sense? Yeah. If it's just, he said that, he says right here. He said therefore, they're not really different. So let me see this again. No matter what you tell me, the problem is the answer is the same. No matter what you say is bothering you, the answer is the same. If I forget that the answer is the same, then I think I have a lot of different problems that need a lot of different solutions. Okay, so if you are a being that creates through your thought, and you draw to you in this reality where your consciousness is, and you believe you have a lot of different problems, what's going to happen? You're going to have a lot of different problems. So the Course in Miracles is saying the reason why it looks like we have a lot of different problems is because we forget that all our problems are a reflection of the same wrong idea. Okay, let me stop there. Any thoughts about that or any feedback? Just tell me what you think about it.
It's very simplistic. It's very simplistic.
It is.
I mean, it doesn't seem that simple.
No.
And it can be hard to think about it when you're in the moment, like in it.
Right. When you're in it, if you're in it, it's a good chance you haven't thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Or you wouldn't be in it.
Right. So that's why forgiveness is such an important part of the process. Because if I can't forgive myself for when I forget, then I stay stuck. If I keep beating myself up about every time that I don't practice the truth, then I stay stuck. So that's why forgiveness is such an important part of the course. So that, okay, you're going to forget sometime, you're going to make a mistake sometime, just forgive yourself, which means correctly interpret that as your call for help, your call for love. That's part of your learning process.
That happens all the time then.
Right, exactly. So we could be a lot more, okay. So that's why you want to start, this is deep, that's why you want to start believing that there are minds that are aware of the truth for you. So that when you're insane, then you know there's somebody holding the light for you, just like when your friends and relatives are insane, and you're the one that's saying, hey brother, why don't you take a look at what life can offer you. In other words, sometimes I forget that the same process the Spirit is asking me to do is really the same process that's being done to me by some other part of me that I don't know about. Sometimes I always think the truth kind of starts with me and then works its way down. Like I'm the one that's got to give it to everybody and then they're going to give it. But it never dawns on me that there's something behind me that gave it to me. I'm always looking forward to who I think I got to apply it to. So it's sort of like looking over a cliff and you look down, but you forget you can look up and see how many ledges are above you. But we're so busy looking down, which of course calls back the past, that we don't even realize that if we were to turn our head, we'd see we had a lot of support above us. And I like that thought. So, yeah, right now I'm confused and everything, and I don't know what's going on in my life, and there's an invisible presence going, behold, Holy Son of God, what life could offer you. And I got, and that makes me not feel so alone in it. But what about you, Connie? You have any thoughts about that?
It makes it so much easier, because I try to make it so complicated all the time.
Me too.
You know, it's just too complicated, never enough time, and it just makes it so much more simpler.
I hope I can handle the simplicity. Mm. You know what I mean? That's what you asked me what was going on. That's what I was saying. And the best way I could put it was that now the course is, he calls it the ideas being consolidated in your mind and integrated. And that's what I feel. It's like, it's so friggin' simple that I wonder why it took me so long to go ahead and just use it, because it's simple. You know, it does look like I got a whole lot of problems going on, but I need to not for an instant think about the form of all my problems, but get in touch with the one idea that's underlying all this. Is somehow I think I'm separate, and I think I'm separate from my source, and I think I'm separate from the answer. That's my problem, is I think I'm separate from the solution to it. And that's what I need help remembering, because my ego mind always wants to take me into some exterior condition that it thinks is causing the problem and try to get me to figure out how to handle it. And that's just for me with that process. Yeah. And what I found is that if I can tell myself the truth first, that the problem is coming from believing that I'm separate from my source, then when I go out and do whatever it is I think my ego needs to do in the world, it tends to get solved faster. Because my ego will go crazy if it don't think it's going to do something. You know what I'm saying? That's where mine is. It's like if I just said, okay, the problem is I think I'm separate. Okay, the rent needs to be paid. And I just go, well, the problem is I just think I'm separate from God. And I just sit there. Well, my ego will go bananas. Mm-hmm. Okay? So what I got to do is say, my problem is that I think I'm separate from God. And listen for guidance about how to deal with this situation that comes up, you know, be open to guidance about the form of how to deal with the situation that comes up. And the other thing is just to do what you would do if you didn't have any belief in God at all. I always tell people, just what would you do if you didn't believe in anything greater than yourself? Well, you go out and try to get a job, or you try to borrow some money, or you go talk to somebody, or you come up with all your plans. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? That's what you do. You try to figure out a way to pay that bill. So, go ahead. Try to figure out a way to pay that bill and tell yourself the problem is that you really think you're separate from your source. That's how I'm learning that you deal with the ego to keep it from driving you crazy. And until you switch over to more a belief in the part of you say is the only problem is that I think I'm separate from the solution. Because when we really believe that, then the problem will be healed. But we're in the process of learning how to get to that level of consciousness. So while we're trying to get to that level of consciousness, then we have to play both ends against the middle. You go ahead and you do whatever it is you think your ego thinks you should do, so it won't worry you to death. You know, it's like giving a kid something to do while you got something to do in the kitchen, like my mama used to do. Huh? Here's a toy. Go play with this toy over in the corner. You know what I'm saying? Well, I do the real business. And that's what you have to do your ego. You have to go, okay, you need a plan. Go ahead and come up with your plan. And, you know, go figure everything out. Go get your degree. Go ahead. Go get your degree and everything. Try not to feel so guilty. Go ahead. Go play. You know, and then your real self go ahead and handle the situation. Well, your ego just, you know. And I had to, because I used to fight my ego and try to control my ego and try to humble my ego. And in that section this morning, it was saying that, you know, you don't try to control your ego. You don't try to humble your ego.
Well, this brings up an interesting question for me is, to truly quiet your ego, how do we function in life without looking like we're zombies? But then again, there's really no, like what you're just now saying.
Do I look like a zombie?
No.
Okay, so keep that in mind. I'm totally dedicated to it.
But I have my ego. I've been accused, because I've, even before picking up the miracles, in my life, I'm very forgiving. I'm very just, you know, I don't want to deal with that stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go into that drama with you, although I have a lot of drama in my own life, but I don't want to. Mm-hmm. And I get accused of being selfish, of being not caring
Okay, that's what's so cool. That's why. But let me tell you something. I'm glad you said that because that's a very good point.
Or stoic is another one.
Very good point. Very good point. So once you know the truth for yourself, mm-hmm. it truly, truly, truly would not matter mm-hmm. about how they're reacting to the way that you're handling something. It would be sort of like if everybody. It'd be sort of like if everybody walked up to you and told you that they were getting ready to go hold their head underwater for 30 minutes. 1,000 people could walk up to you and say, I'm going to hold my own head underwater for 30 minutes. You need to do that too or you're wrong. You know that would drown you. So you don't care how many people told you to do it, you wouldn't do it. And you also wouldn't get upset with yourself about not holding your head under the water, drowning yourself. So people can only affect you when you're not sure about your position yourself.
I just had a light bulb moment.
Okay, you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's my ego looking for that response.
That, right. It's your ego that needs that response.
Yeah. I'm being a zombie or that I'm not. Yeah. It's my ego that's looking for that.
So, because if you listen to your ego, you'll stop forgiving. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? And that's what the ego needs. That's the part of us that needs grievances in order to keep its separate identity going.
Yeah, again, so simple.
I know. That's why the Course in Miracles. I was reading this today, when I was reading that chapter 4. It was, again, it makes me think it's just too deep. It was the Spirit said so many times in that chapter that your ego was not going to like this. And that your ego is going to become afraid. And so one of the biggest things I go through teaching the Course in Miracles is how do I teach the Course in Miracles? Listen, this is my ego. I see that clearly now. It's my ego. How do I teach the Course in Miracles without always scaring people away? Because it's the most unattended love class that you could ever teach. You know what I'm saying? Because you're constantly seeing people say, oh boy, it's powerful, it's great, I love it, it's changed my life. But then you don't be five people. You know, all the time. You see that. And then it hit me that just what he was saying today. Yeah, they love it. Their ego don't want to have nothing to do with the truth. And the book says that over and over again. Our ego does not want to have anything to do with anything that overlooks the body, anything that's talking about going beyond the world, anything that says anything about it's not about power, fame, spaciousness, and physical pleasure. Anytime you say anything that's not about the body's comfort and pleasure, you're going to lose 99% of whoever you're talking to who believes that they're their body, because their whole world revolves around the sensations of the body and the experience of the body. And the Course is basically trying to get us to see that we're something else altogether. So the part of us that's identified with the body is totally and completely against joining and really being practicing the truth. And so instead of me fighting that, all of a sudden it hit me that the Course was just really just trying to get me to remember the truth while my ego is doing its thing. You just, you know, you go ahead and get whatever you want. That house, that car, that sex, that relationship, that money, that diamond, that coat, that trip. Let your ego do whatever it is that it thinks it needs to do, but don't you forget the truth. You know, don't you forget that when your friends are upset, you just need to remember just to ask them to choose for truth and choose for peace in your mind for them. You got to remember that your friends are not alone and that they have support and that they're powerful and that they're creating the situations that they're going through for their own spiritual growth, even when they forget and they think the problem really is they caught the flu. You know, my job is to not believe the stuff that the people around me are telling themselves. That my job is to remember the truth about you when you forget it. I mean, it's so deep. He says that's your problem. And if you will do that, you will be sustained. I mean, the book says it point blank. You know, you will be sustained. You won't have to worry about food, clothes, and he calls it lower order concerns. You will not have to worry about lower order concerns if you fulfill your function. I'm going to tell you what your function is. Your function is to remember the truth for everybody around you and for yourself. Just remember it. And I go, that's too simple. See, because that doesn't involve me getting my friends and relatives to change their mind and change their beliefs. That doesn't call for me to debate or get into any argument about my beliefs versus your beliefs and do you believe me or not. That doesn't require me not to go to a movie, not to go on vacation, not to have sex, not to take a trip, not to have a job, It's not requiring me not to do anything that I think my ego needs to do in the world. Because I'm in the world, so I'm going to always be doing something in the world while I'm in the world. So it's not about fighting that, Todd. You know what I'm saying? It's this world, what are you going to do while you're in the world? Better yet, what are you going to think? What are you going to think while you're in the world is your function. Then you do the things you love. with your body. Because if you're doing the stuff your ego loves, then your ego is not going to try to distract you. Because it'll be busy enjoying itself. I'm going, I like the way this new voice talks to me. You know, so I'm telling you, it's like this new voice is like running the dial, you know what I'm saying? And it's not asking for sacrifice at all. And every single time I try anything that it says, it always works. But the other interesting thing that I've noticed is that the ego loves complicated answers, and my answers aren't complicated enough to hold the attention of people. So they have to go to something that requires them to do more to get the same result, because their ego can relate to that. So they'll go to something that says you got to do 900 astral planes, put 300 crystals around your head. You know what I'm saying? You got to bury yourself for 9 days. You know what I'm saying? You got to meditate. You know, it's like people are jump up and down to do those things. You know, it's because the ego loves complication. So then the Holy Spirit will use these complicated methods to bring you to the same place. And that's why it says in the book, yeah, you can contemplate and meditate and try to deny your body. He says it'll work because of your purpose. Your purpose is to go beyond it, so it's going to work. He said, but these are all tedious and time consuming. I didn't say it was bad. I just said it's going to take a whole lot of time. So he says, I'm going to give you the way of relationships. Okay, what's the way of relationships? Well, you got all these different relationships in your life. Your job is, when you're in these relationships, is for you to remember the truth. And I'm going, that's just too hard. No, it's hard when I think I got to convince you of it. See, it doesn't get hard until I think I got to convince you of it. Then it gets hard. The minute I go, Earl, you know, you don't care what anybody else around you thinks. You now accept that you're not a body. And if the key is to be innocent, then you don't have a problem thinking that you were the one that created the car hitting you when you was 10 years old. Now, somebody else might have a hard time with that, but do you honestly have a problem with that? No, I can see clearly from this level of development how I created that within myself. Earl, do you have a hard time accepting that this is a waking dream? No, I don't have a hard time accepting that this is... Okay, but when I need somebody else to say, Earl, I agree with you, this is a waking dream, I'll say, Earl, you know, I really believe that I created what happened to me, then that's when I get slow. That's what slows me down. The minute I involve somebody else is when I slow down. The minute I make somebody else's any kind of agreement necessary, then I immediately bring myself to a screeching halt. Just because then now I got to convince you. But that would only happen if I was afraid to do it. Because if I'm afraid to do it, then I'm going to come up with an obstacle to stop me. And that would be me trying to get you to say, okay. So the minute I look outside of myself, that's the way I know I don't want to achieve my goal. See, I could accept the truth for myself, but the minute I look for you to agree, then that's going to create conflict, right? Mm-hmm. So my looking for you to agree is really my way of stopping me from achieving my goal. Now, what does that have to do with me being a guitarist in a rock and roll band? Well, ego, this is what you do. See yourself as innocent, Earl. Practice every day. Visualize yourself being at Carnegie Hall. You know, do all the magic stuff. It works. Go ahead, Earl, play guitar at Carnegie Hall and have a good time, and hopefully you have some really cool groupies after the gig. You know what I'm saying? You know, go ahead. You know, and they get the groupies that read chorus. You know what I'm saying? So soon after they get to wearing your butt out, they'll break out the chorus book on you. Let's read a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So go ahead. And what? Because all of a sudden, I'm innocent. So who cares what my ego does, as long as it does in an environment of harmony, responsibility, and non-attack? Of course, go ahead and play guitar. So that whole battle between my physical identity and my spiritual identity, that battle is ceasing within me, because I see that they're two different things altogether. Like Jesus said in the Bible, render unto Caesar what's Caesar's, and unto God what's God's. You know what I'm saying? You know, let the ego have its ego world. Don't spend your whole life trying to deny your ego. Just don't forget what it is. Don't forget that ego is nothing but the idea of yourself that you made up. That's all it is. And you made it up. And that's it. You know, if you want a 32-room mansion, go out and get you a 32-room mansion. Because your ego liked 32-room mansions, or it wouldn't even thought that up. So go ahead and give it one, if it can do it. But just don't you forget, your value and your worth has nothing to do with a 32-room mansion. Mm-hmm. Because if you know that, then I'll let you have a 32-room mansion. Because the 32-room mansion only becomes a problem when you use it to delay your spiritual growth. As long as you're not going to use it to delay your spiritual growth, who cares? It's all illusion. A one-room shack is no more real than a 32-room mansion, and vice versa. So you're not being more spiritual because you deny yourself the things that you like to have. It's all the same thing. And I'm going, I like this voice. You know, I like this voice. Don't y'all like this voice? It's a cool voice. You know, and that's the way it's talking to me, and that's the way it's bringing all this kind of stuff together. So it told me this, you know, with this, you know, so let go of any kind of attachment about who's there. Because you're saying the scariest thing you can say to the human mind when they come to your class. They are listening to the scariest stuff that the separated mind can hear. Of course, subconsciously or consciously, they're going to need to get away sometimes. Because the part of them that wants to do the old way is not going to want to hear this kind of stuff, you know? I mean, it's hard for me to accept that I could just be in your presence and just question you in my mind, and that's all that's necessary for me to do. Right, you're going to want to rag me over the coals about I ought to do more than that. If I'm really a helpful person, I ought to do more than that. You know, and the book is saying, well, yeah, if you're supposed to do more than that, if you're supposed to physically reach out and give that wino or the homeless person the money, this is how you know. You'll do it. That's it. And how do you know it's the one that it's divine order for you not to give a damn to? Who is that one?
They won't do it.
Thank you. Now imagine how innocent your day was if you just could take that one idea into your day. Just that one idea. You know, whatever I didn't do today was what I was supposed to not do today. The person I didn't speak to, the person I didn't call, mm-hmm. the person I didn't reach out to, the person I didn't answer their problem, the person that I didn't help, the person I didn't even think about. That was what I was supposed to do today. And every single thing I did do today was exactly what I was supposed to do today, and it served the best purpose it could possibly serve, no matter how I did it.
Even if you're looping in if you're in a negative loop in your head, should I call the person? Should I not call the person? Mm-hmm. Should I call the person? Or should I not call them? Mm-hmm. Okay, I didn't call them, which means I probably shouldn't have called them.
Right.
But I still was in. I gave up all my peace around whether or not I should call them.
Right, and that was your. And the Course says that was your solution to the problem. The Course says the solution you came up was to be in conflict. You did make.
I did that.
I told you. Didn't I just tell you a few minutes ago? I said, when you tell these people this stuff, they're going to hate it.
Thank you, girl.
Yeah. See, that took me a while to catch that one, too, though, Connie. That was the one that used to get me, too. When I first read that in that book, it freaked me out for a second because it says, you know, the mind that's in conflict wants to be in conflict where there is no answer, because they actually don't know it, but the desire to go into conflict was the way that they had decided to handle it. That I just feel conflict about this. Because, see, feeling conflict about calling the person or not still makes you feel like you're a good person and that you're concerned, because you got conflict about whether or not I should call them.
Well, the other person doesn't care if you have an ulcer or not.
You don't know.
They don't even know you're in conflict.
Uh-huh. Yeah. They don't even know you're in conflict. When
they're
I realized how many,
about me,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Probably what? And if they were, and they knew how to get in touch with you, and they knew they could, they would.
They would, yeah.
So that's the other thing. It's like you know, I always know people are wherever they want to be, no matter what they say.
Yeah.
If you want to be here, you'll be here. If you don't want to be here, you won't be here. We always do what we really want to do. We don't let nothing stop us from doing what we really want to do. That's why I stopped giving excuses in my life as much as possible. I realized that one of the really real thing is an excuse. You know, either you really wanted to do that and you made it happen, or you didn't really want to do it and it didn't happen. But you're innocent either way it go, because in both situations you did the thing that was the best for everyone involved. If you didn't show up, it was for everybody's own best interest. And if you did show up, it was for everybody's own best interest. Now, that's the truth, right? Okay. Now, the ego is not going to want to, that's not going to fly with the ego. We know that, right? Mm-hmm. So with the ego, you might have to say, And it probably was true. I got caught in traffic, and that's why I'm late. You see what I'm saying? Because the ego needs to hear ego reasons for things. Two conscious beings would never need an excuse. Two conscious beings would know if you did, it was supposed to happen. So if you didn't show up and you were supposed to be here at 1 o'clock, you, it's the best thing in the world for me that you didn't show up at 1 o'clock and that you showed up at exactly 1:15. See, a conscious being knows that. So they would already readjust themselves from the anger position about, they didn't get here on time. You know, the conscious being going to immediately say, quiet, because where my peace isn't dependent on you getting here on time. All right? And then you're not here, so there's no point in me getting upset about what ain't happening no way. See, your conscious mind going to take you through all that stuff, right? And so what happens is that the more you look at it that way, the more people show up on time. That's the weird part about it. The minute you got infinite patience, the Course says you get immediate, instant results. The minute you don't care if it happens and it's okay if it doesn't, you're not jiving, you have no fear. And if you don't have any fear, there's nothing to block it. And so it manifests because you're not holding it back. I like this book. That's why I'm saying why people don't read it. You know, I know it's kind of weird to read, but that's just another trick.
But such is the way you do things to appease your ego, too. Because you might start out doing things to appease your ego, but the more you look at it that way, the more you see this isn't serving me well, or it's taking more peace than it is, and it's not worth it anymore. So then you change. So then it's almost like your ego evolves as well.
Beautiful. That's why I love people to talk. Because unless you think your ego can learn, then your ego has a lot of resistance to the Course. Mm-hmm. So it's always remember that, this is the way it works. You're being taught by your higher self, right? And then you turn around and you teach your ego. That's the way it works, you know. Your ego can change.
Being more loving towards myself.
Right. Right. Because your ego is nothing but what you're telling yourself to do to yourself. Mm-hmm. And so what the Course would call the Course says the most highly evolved ego is the ego that begins to believe that the ego may not be it. So if you're sitting up here and you're saying to yourself, I might not be what I think I am, because that's the highest level of consciousness that the ego can operate from. It's for you to believe you may not be everything you taught yourself you are would have to be the highest level you could get to, because most people you know are thoroughly convinced that they are what they think they are, and they will argue and fight you all day on that position. But if you're in the presence of somebody who could say, it might not be the way I think it is, now you're in the presence of a highly evolved being to me, in according to how I'm understanding this, because that's a being that can be reached. So it's kind of a funny thing. It's like we think our peace comes from believing that we're right, even when we're wrong. And then on the other hand, all the information that we need to help us comes from believing we don't know everything, so that we can open doors to receive the new information. And that's the dilemma. You know what I'm saying? That's the dilemma. Because the ego mind wants to be right, and his whole sense of security comes from the idea that it's right. That's why the Course says people don't question, because if they question, it may put a little chink in their whole little thought system. You know, one little, like if you've been thinking all your life you were a chicken and you found out you were an eagle, that would throw you in a big dilemma. You know what I'm saying? If you've been thinking all your life you're a human being and you find out you're a god, that might throw a little chink in your whole deal. You know, I'm trying to get in touch with myself as a man. I'm just finally trying to get a handle on that. And then you saying that I'm more than a man? I know man world. I know man thought. Suppose I start feeling stuff that men don't necessarily feel. Then I get thrown into a quandary because I don't fit into that image that I've made up for myself. That's why so much going on right now around sexuality and what that is and the labels and all that stuff. Because people are beginning to get in touch with their total identity, which is male and female, and that's being worked out through a lot of confusion and disorientation and sexual issues and sexual matters, which brings up the fear of the ego, because nothing scares the ego more than for a person to believe they might be more than their body. So then all of a sudden it takes the form of conservatism politically, being against gay people getting married and anybody else, because the ego has to defend what? The past, which is what the ego is made out of. So we don't see that, even at a political cultural level, that the stuff that we're going through as far as in sexuality and religion and all that stuff is really, again, based on the ego defending itself, because we're beginning to recognize we may be more than what we were taught we were. So the old self is trying to, you know, because what's happening is that it seems to me that that everything is becoming neatly divided. Where there used to be shades of gray, it's like the shades of gray in my perception seem to be fading away. It seems to either be the people who are the staunch conservatives, the way they think it should be in one direction, and then it's the people who are all the way on a whole nother track altogether. But I don't see a whole lot of in-between like I used to. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like the forces of darkness and light. However you define that, but you don't realize that's your own. The Course is saying that's a split in your own mind. That is the division between those two things in yourself. That's your conservative versus your liberal nature. That's yours. And so whatever position you take, this is really, it's awesome. Let's see if we can follow this one. He said the mind looks for integrity within itself. That means it wants to see itself as one thing. Okay? So he says, so if your mind is split, what it does is you identify with one part of it completely, which would make you think you just got one mind. And then you take the part you don't identify with and you project that out, and that becomes your perception or your physical world. So if you want to get in touch with your whole mind, then your whole mind is actually what you think, in a sense, but it's what you see. And see, but we don't want to own the what we see part. If what we're seeing is something we don't like. You follow me? So the course says when you bring the two parts of your mind together, then you have to make a choice. But as long as you keep the two sides of your mind separate, you can think you don't have to make a choice. Because you see, I'm Earl, you know what I'm saying? And I'm Earl, and I'm for blue, but I'm not for green. Okay, but what you find, suppose Earl find out he's the green and the blue. Now I got to choose. And he calls it the borderland. When you're right outside of the mind change, it's when you go so far on the spiritual path that you know you can't take your old belief with you any further. Mm-hmm. When you have gone as far as you can go with thinking two ways about yourself, and now you're going to really have to make a choice. Are you love or are you fear? Are you innocent or are you guilty? So he says you can only go so far with I'm separated and unseparated at the same time. I'm a separate individual and I'm one with you. See the opposite is. I'm a separate individual and I'm one with you. He says at some point on the path you're going to get you one or the other. Because you're not both. So are you love completely? Are you free completely? Are you really free? Are you really powerful? Can you really think? Can you really choose? Or are you a victim? You got to make a choice. Now, you can't go any further on the path until you make that choice. Because now, if you keep going the way you went before, you're just going to keep going around in circles, coming back to the same choice again. Go through some more stuff, come back to the same choice again. Am I going to give myself peace? Am I going to give myself conflict? Am I going to give myself peace? Am I going to give myself conflict? How many of y'all see that? Yeah, different forms, same issue. Different forms, same issue. My children. I'm not giving myself peace about my children. I'm going to give myself conflict about my children. Job. Am I going to give myself peace about my job? I'm going to give myself conflict about my job. Money. Notice it's the same choice, just different forms.
It's the same problem.
Same problem.
And it seems to go from... For me, anyway, my ego went from wanting to be right when really I just wanted to be safe. And by practicing the truth, that safety is inherent in that.
Thank you.
It doesn't matter what you do, where you go. You have no need to be right. You have no. It's just wherever you are, you're safe and you're taken care of. And then the more you reinforce that, the more that you see that in your reality.
Brilliant. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's it. All the stuff that you used to try to figure out how to take care of when you reach that state of safety within yourself, from your connection with yourself, you don't even entertain those thoughts because your safe, mm-hmm. your safe consciousness creates a safe perception of reality, which creates a safe world for you. For you. I feel like I walk around in a world that other people don't walk around in.
Yeah.
That's literally what I feel like. Like I'm always walking around in a world that other people are not. Because I really realize what the Course is talking about. You came here for the salvation of the world. He's talking about your world. Your perception. You came here to save your own interpretation of yourself. You came to save yourself. You came to have your own mind healed. Because that is our world. So I notice as I apply the Course more and more, I don't care what everybody else around me seem to be going through. I'm not going through it.
Hmm. Probably not now, but does your ego used to have a heyday with that as far as then reinforcing that you could be separate because you're not experiencing the same world that everyone else is?
Yeah, how I connected is by admitting that what I'm seeing is in my own mind. Hmm. Then I'm not separating myself from it.
Is.
Right, because the ones that I accept that it's in my own mind, then there's no need for it to make me know that by somehow drawing me into it so that I'll see that it's coming from me. You see what I'm saying? If I'm in denial, then the thing that I'm in denial about has to make itself known.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? But if I'm not in denial, if I say Earl has jealousy, Earl has insecure feelings, Earl has anger, Earl has murderous thoughts, well then I don't need a murderous thought to come up to show me I have murderous thoughts. I'm needing a guy with a knife outside of Walgreens to show me I got murderous thoughts. Yes, I have them. Thank you. I don't need to meet you personally. We'll have a long distance relationship. Okay. Which means you stay on the other side of town. You're wherever I'm at, you're not there.
Right.
That's our agreement. Murderer, let's make one agreement. Wherever you're at, I'll be somewhere else. And that'll be when the murderer goes, well, how's it? Well, I admit you're their murderer. And I have no desire to murder you. Mm. And
well,
so,
it's just like people living in Africa, you know their lifestyle or whatever, and you know they're suffering, but yet you don't choose to go suffer with them.
Right, as if that would ease their suffering,
right,
by the way.
Right.
And you try not to see them as the suffering that they're going through, and then you ask Spirit, if there's anything for me to do, please let me know what that is. And the Spirit might say, send a care package.
Yeah.
Or Spirit might say, just see them as the Holy Son of God. You'll be told what to do. It's the same rule applies. If you haven't sent a care package, for whatever reason, you weren't supposed to send a care package yet. So that's what makes it a challenge, because it's hard for us to see ourselves as innocent in every situation. Mm-hmm. You know, there are some situations we want to be conditional. Now if I don't send a care package over there to the tsunami victims, I'm really not a good person. See, now your ego is using the tsunami to reinforce itself.
Isn't that what you're saying right there? That you give the thought to yourself that they are safe, that they are innocent, that they are alive,
mm-hmm.
and that becomes part of the one unity, and then that quells, you know, that's good for your spirit.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, it's just more on a global basis as opposed to an individual conflict.
Yeah. So what I did was I forgot about the globe because I realized, since I don't know nobody in Africa, that right now, whatever my lesson is, don't have anything to do with nobody in Africa. Mm-hmm. It's got something to do with you. Why?
That's right.
When? Now, the five most important people in my life right now is you. Now, does my ego feel like you're the five most important people in my life? Does your ego feel like I am? I don't think so. I mean, you like me, but I don't think you think I'm one of the five most important people in your life. Okay, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, let's get real, right? Okay. But then, that's the ego. That's what I mean by separating the two. Mm-hmm. You know, I go, of course Earl's ego don't believe that. So I don't beat my ego up, because egos can't see everybody as the same. Egos can't love everybody the same. Egos can't see themselves as totally innocent. So that's how you know you're moving into another part of your mind. Because your ego, you know that. You know your ego always is trying to make you feel guilty or unworthy or fearful. That's its job. It was made to do that. That's its function. So I'm not trying to change my ego anymore. I'm just trying not to control it, humble it, and otherwise dominate it. I want to give my ego a break. Earl, you want to go to a movie? I will take you out to a movie. Where you want to go, man? You know, where you want? That's why I talk to him. Where you want? What you want to do? Shotgun with his ideas. And I'm certainly not going to go with nobody who's going to judge that. So, Earl, I'm not going to call somebody up who would judge that. And, Earl, guess what? I'm not going to even let nobody know who would judge it. Because I know who I can say it to in my circle. We all know in our circle who we can say what to. So you know you want to feel guilty when you tell the born again Christian you're going to shotgun with. You know, that's your way of stopping yourself. And it's letting you know you got those thoughts in your own mind, that you got some residue of your old religious program and it's still making you feel guilty. And that person from that religion came up to show you that you haven't overcome your childhood religious beliefs.
You know what, Earl? The weekend we were driving to Utah, and in Fort Collins we stopped, and some gal knew this priest, and I've been reading the Da Vinci Code, and I had it in my hand, and so the priest happened to know where I went to school because I went to a Catholic school, and he saw that I was reading the book, and he's like, "Oh, isn't that a great book?"
See?
He's like, "That's the best book," and I was shocked. Because it was a Catholic priest.
Yeah, I mean, they had cardinals coming out against it, you know.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
"Yeah, that's a great
book."
Yeah, why were they coming out against
it?
What were they protecting?
Of course, picked my butt when they said that about, the revolt. When he said that, the concept that you revolt against is what you still believe.
Uh-huh.
And that I always think about that. He says, whatever you revolt against, you still believe. So I realized that could work to my advantage because people are so prone to revolt against the concepts that I share. Like, people revolt against the idea of being innocent and there is no hell and there is no guilt. They revolt against that idea. But that means that they believe they're innocent. See, my mind flipped it the other way. You know, and that way all these people who were against me all of a sudden became for me. And then I stopped getting a lot of opposition. Now nobody ever questions. I can't even tell you the last time that somebody got into one of those discussions with me about my belief system being wrong and this being. I don't even remember. And you would think somebody doing it publicly like I do would be running into that all. Because I tell people what I do when they ask me.
It's just because you're pushy.
You know, whatever reason. Well, Anthony, we know you don't know nothing about pushing.
I'm just trying to give you.
No, and I'm glad. I don't doubt it at all. You know what I'm saying? Wouldn't that be a great way to look at it, though? Mm-hmm. That all these people that are revolting against our ideas subconsciously believe in them. That's why they revolt. That's why they're giving it so much power. Because if it didn't have any power, why would they fight it so hard? If you really thought God was in charge and God was more powerful than the devil, then why do you feel like it's your personal mission to fight against Satan? Unless you thought Satan had a possibility of winning.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's never made sense to me under the whole Catholic religion.
And the rest of them are like powerful. That. It didn't make sense to me in the Baptist religion. Yeah.
Even if they're equal, if you're still on the side of God, you're hedging your bets.
I'm telling you. That's what I'm saying. That's why I claim Jesus Christ as my Savior, got, you know, converted to Judaism, and I'm going through all the religions. I'm going to have everything covered. I'm Methodist, I'm Catholic. I do throw a little Latin in there, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to cover the whole thing, you know, because it's really, once I got that it was a belief, once I got that it was all belief systems, that was the most liberating idea that ever happened to me in my life. When I really got that, I was just looking at different beliefs. If that don't free you, I don't know what should free you. If you really get that everybody's just living their beliefs, then you should feel liberated. You know,
we're all heading to the same place.
Yeah, and the fact that that's their belief, and it don't have to be yours. It's just a belief. It don't make it right just because you believe it. You know, and I'm like going. I had an old school that was, if you believe it, you know, it makes it true. That's not true. Unless you say it makes it true for you, you got to add "for you" to that. If I believe it, it makes it true for me, and even then it's not true in reality, but it will be to me.
Right.
kind of like that perception is reality.
Yeah. But some people think perception is reality.
Mm-hmm. Well, your good example was standing on the roof looking over the end and believing that gravity's not real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to jump off, but since I don't believe in gravity, I'm going to fall up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, well, you believe in gravity? That may be your belief, but you're going to get splattered, buddy. You're getting ready to get splattered. So the Course in Miracles is saying, that's what I want y'all to know, that there is a reality underneath the insanity that y'all are looking at that y'all call the world. I want you to, it's the same thing. I want you to know that. I know this looks real, and I know you see it, but there's something beneath it that is real that you can count on. But you won't get to it until you stop condemning this level, because condemning this level keeps you stuck here, and then you're not able to go to the level beneath it, which is where all the peace you're looking for is. Because I'm so busy judging this level, I can't transcend it. So how do I transcend it? Well, you transcend it by allowing yourself to love it. Love that sunset, love that car, love that walk, love your body, love your house,
so
love your car.
So it's the same principle as accepting the shadows.
Yeah, you got to accept the shadow. You got to accept the shadow if you want to get to the light. And that really, the shadow is a lot of fun. Because the shadow is nothing usually but the things that people really want to do, but somehow or another they're just making themselves not do it through some kind of guilt or fear. Not even that the thing is really wrong. So shadow is relative.
But that fits. If everything we consider to be reality is our perception, is the perception of our ego, then in and of itself it's something that we should embrace.
Mm-hmm.
But accept as being the shadowy part of ourselves.
And that's what I mean when I say that, you know, the anger thoughts in Earl. You know, the murderous thoughts in Earl. You know, that's what I mean. It's like embracing my shadow for me means to not condemn myself for any of my feelings and to stop separating some of my feelings off as innocent and some of them as guilty. Now, again, I'm talking to you. Your ego needs guilt. The Course says the ego is the part of the mind that wants it. So it's attracted to what makes you feel guilty, which explains 99% of everybody we see. I mean, think about it. Think about how many times you hear somebody say they want peace, love, happiness, and harmony, and truth, and go right out and form a relationship with somebody that has none of those qualities. I mean, come on now. We see it all the time. All the time. I can't tell you how many times I've heard somebody say to me the kind of person that they like to be with, and then the person that they was actually attracted to and was turned on to and passionate about and got to have didn't have none of those qualities. None of them. Not one. Not one. It's funny. You just watch. All you got to do is observe, and this thing will just act itself totally out for you. You know, it really will. I'm going to finish this paragraph. Then we can go to this section next week. Let me finish this. It says, okay, here's the other part. He says, don't consider the form of the sickness that the person believes in, because to do this is to forget that all of them have the same purpose, therefore not really different. What you're going to do is you're going to seek for God's voice in this person who would so deceive themselves as to believe they could suffer. So I'm going to look for the truth in you, because you're deceiving yourself. And then I'm going to remind you, guess what? You didn't make yourself. So no matter how you're feeling right now, you're still the same way as God created you. And so all this stuff you're telling yourself about yourself can have no real effect. In other words, the truth in my mind is going to reach out to the truth in your mind so that we don't reinforce each other's illusions about each other. And he says, so what I'm doing is I'm bringing all of your illusions to the truth. I'm not making your illusions true. I'm bringing your false ideas about yourself to the truth, and that's how they are dispelled, not by the will of another, but by the union of the one will with itself. And so now I'm going to tell you, if you don't remember any of that, this is what your function is, if you don't remember nothing else, to see nobody else's will or mind is really being separate or different from yours, and then don't see your will or mind is separate from God's or different from God. So my function is to say, your mind is really not separate or different from mine. Your mind expresses fear. Your mind expresses love. That mind isn't different from your mind. Your mind creates. My mind creates. That's what it means. My mind. It means that all of our minds have the same characteristics, even though we might be using our mind for what looks like different purposes. So your mind is not different from my mind, and my mind isn't different from the mind of God, the mind of the Creator. Does that make sense? So that's awesome to me. So I need to remember that you didn't. So what I need to do while you're upset and depressed is remember that you are not the stuff that you're telling yourself about. And it's easy to do it for somebody else. I don't know about you, but that's really not that hard to do for somebody else. If you all were putting yourselves down right now and criticizing yourselves and judging yourselves, I really wouldn't have a problem it wouldn't be hard for me to see that y'all was making it up in y'all's mind at all. I can sit up here and go, that's just something you're telling yourself. Because I can see your power, you know what I'm saying? I can see your beauty. I can see everything that you don't see when you're upset with yourself. And he said, that's what you're supposed to do. That, you know, that's your function. He says, and when I do that, I'm not reinforcing your illusion about yourself because I'm not joining you in it. I'm not going in my mind, you know, you're really right. You really are a victim. I might not say it verbally that, you know, you created it for yourself, but I can certainly mentally tell myself that you're not a victim of that situation. So I'm not really reinforcing it. And so people tend not to get in touch with me when they want to feel guilty. You know what I'm saying?
So you're not going to play into it.
Right, right. When people really want to do themselves in, they don't call me. I'm just, you know, you think it would be just the opposite. But if I'm really about condemning myself and judging myself, why would I call somebody who would remind me that I'm innocent, remind me not that I'm not a victim, and somehow to represent the idea that I'm creating this for myself? Mm-hmm. If I really want, I'm not going to call Earl. I'm not going to come to a course class. Not when I'm hell-bent on getting myself hell right now. I'm going to get as far away from that as I can. People, you know, the best time to teach course people is between relationships. Because usually they enter into a special relationship with somebody, they ain't nowhere. I ain't seeing them nowhere around. You can bet. I can tell this is good with somebody getting a relationship. Because they gone. Because they need to keep that illusion going. The ego needs the illusion. It doesn't need the truth because it's too easy to tell the truth. You know, if you're not calling me, not communicating with me, not helping me feel innocent about myself, then I know you don't love me. And so if I'm reading something or studying something that's reminding me all the time that a person that loves me frees me, but I'm not really ready to free or be free, then I can't come to something that's telling me if I want to have this relationship, I got to get away from this stuff. So you can always tell when you're ready to deceive yourself by how far you get away from sources of your truth. And that's not saying you got to come to my class, but you find you're not reading no more, you're not studying no more.
You moved to Australia.
You moved to Australia. Honey, you was looking to tell you something about you. You win the world's record for getting away from me. She went to the other side of the planet. And guess what? Came back.
Oh my
God. So I'm going to stop
right
here.
Everybody says, why did you come back? And I'm like, why the hell did I leave?
It sounded so good. It's time, though.
Yeah.
That's it now. That's it.
Wow.
See, that's the beauty of the course to me.
And it seems so clear and so right.
Right.
Oh,
right, 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 right.
Okay.
But also, you were not open to any idea opposite to that.
Yeah.
You also got to remember that too. That you could have been shown, but at that time, the once you make a decision, you edit out anything that's other than that decision that you made. And you had, you know, and of course it was the perfect thing to do because you did it. At some level, it had to be the perfect thing to do because you did it. But I know what you mean. Yeah. I'm especially that way when it comes to women. I'll see whatever I want to see when I want to see it.
Yeah.
It's like my problem is with the course, especially and all this truth stuff, is I go straight to what the person's potential is.
Exactly. You know? You're Aquarius.
It's like soon as I meet somebody, it's like I go straight to their potential, and I'll make the error of thinking their potential.
Really
right. Right. And then they'll buy into that because they see you really seeing that. So they'll also show you that at first,
yeah.
So you can even get in the relationship. And then later on, you find out that you, both of you, your egos, not where you thought they were in the actual relationship. So I'm just like you. My biggest thing right now is to become conscious before. Mm-hmm. You know, the Course says vision is when you know how something's going to turn out before you do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you can say you got vision. You know, and so it's getting that way now. I can talk to somebody or be around somebody, and I can pretty much tell where it's going for me before I even do it. Now, I don't know necessarily what they're going to do, but I can tell by the way I'm feeling what I'm going to do to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm dealing with it now. It has no, you know, you might be the safest person in the world, you. But if I don't feel safe, I'm going to hurt myself out of the experience. I am. I'm going to see to it that I do. You know, so that's why I always try to do what you were saying. What it's not right or wrong now. Do I feel peace or not in this moment? And then what is it that I feel peace about? That's what I need to do. And what I don't feel peace about, I need to ask for another way to look at it. So the, you know, and then move when I feel peaceful, because the world is neutral. There's nothing in the world that's bad or good. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just not. You can do anything you want to here. It's not anything you can think of that you by yourself like it. Just do a search on the internet. And I defy you to come up with any interest you have that you won't find somebody else that's got some similar interest. There's no such thing as being by yourself in anything you go through. And I like that. Because I used to compromise my desires because I thought I was never going to find a person like that. So I would go for something that really wasn't what I wanted because I didn't think I was going to ever get what I really wanted. And the course taught me that, no, man, you're not that special. Ain't nobody so special that how they are, that attitude is the only attitude that's out there. There's somebody that can always match you exactly where you at, just where you are, totally. Mm-hmm. And I said, wow. You know, yeah, don't take your specialness the wrong way. You know, you're not so unique that you're the only person in the world that wants that has this attitude. And remember, I said attitude. You have your own individual, unique form that nobody else has. But you certainly don't have an attitude that nobody else has. So how can I deal with a book that makes me okay this much? That's deep, isn't it?
Fight it.
Yeah. Yeah, how can I deal with a book that makes me okay this much, makes me this innocent? You know. Anyway, thank you, Holy Spirit, for whatever you share. All that I give is given to myself. All that I give is given to myself. I'm sustained by the love of God. We are sustained by the love of God. Money is innocent. Money is nothing. Money is paper, strips, metal, disc, plastic. I am sustained by the love of God. Thank you, brother. Tomorrow, 12 o'clock, you want to think about if somebody's going to be on the path, you want to be happy for them. If they think they're victims, you just silently realize that they're not victims for them. And if it's something for you to say, you say it, and that you're going to give yourself, your ego a break. And stop trying to deny your ego and control your ego. And realize that if your ego can do what it wants to do and feel good about it and innocent about it, it's not going to distract you. It's more distracting when you try to fight your desires. That's because, well, let's face it, most of us don't have any real desire to hurt anybody anyway. So it's not even like you have to fight these. Okay, so, you know what I'm saying? Like, when you really think about it, what are these desires that we're fighting? I mean, we're not cannibals or something, you know. You know, I want to fight the desire to eat cake. You know what I'm saying? You really think about it. I mean, you must be a pretty cool person if your worst temptation is cake. You know what I'm saying?
You know
what I'm saying?
You know, that's a good nugget for me to leave here with.
Yeah, thank you.
Eating of the cake.
It's
those afterwards that get you.
The way you look at yourself to eat the cake. Okay. Right. Yeah. Absolutely. But now you know who's looking at you that way. It's really not. It's a you made up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I created this robot. And the purpose of this robot is to make me feel guilty. But I forget I was the inventor. And I can go in there and yank the programming out the robot and put some more programming in it. But I'm acting like I'm the victim of my own robot. Isn't that deep?
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. We made it. We made our ego up, and now we're saying, oh, my ego made me do it.
When did you get that?
Like at
the end of the year.
Oh,
really? Yeah.
Thanks for coming for Black Wall. Yeah, man. We're starting reading the book. I would suggest starting with the teacher's manual. Yeah, what we're working out of. Because it really makes it easy to understand the rest of the book. And it's like 88 pages.
You too. Take care. Good to see you.
Yeah, I've been creating this. Busy universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, you.
How are you?
Transforming, waking up,
yeah.
Learning like never before. That's really what happened.
Busy up.
Yeah. When did your concert reschedule?
Sunday afternoon.
Did this come in Sunday?
Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, I wanted to come.
Come, definitely. You should.
Yeah. If you think about it, I think I got it. But if you think about it, you send me an email again.
Absolutely.
You know where it is?
Absolutely.
That's my email, too.
Oh, good.
I'd like to have this in on Boulder, if that's okay.
Absolutely. I've got it.
Okay.
We'll send it
up. Okay.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Good to see you, Mr. Anthony.
Hey. How are you?
Hey, thanks so much, man. I really enjoyed dinner the other night. That was great.
That was awesome.
Even if I am pushing. Who, you? I said, who? You don't know nothing about pushing. Hey, you and Emerson, they're like me.
Yeah,
well.
Why
don't you work in it? No, this is the bowl of paper, but it's in here.
That's right.
I could not believe my eyes when I saw it. It's in color. Oh, here it is. Right here on my face. That's all of them. Jay-Z, all of them. They're going to be here April 29th to May 1st in Boulder.
Why didn't I tell?
But they don't have a price on there, though. That's scary.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I'm saying?
There's a number, though.
Yeah.
Prophetsagreatmystery.org.
Yeah, that sounds like this is going to be great.
Let me see. Please punch in the number.
Okay. Let's see what they say about how much it is.
Yeah, mine
don't. Yeah, I think it's probably gonna be probably the $300 or $400 range. I bet you, if it's a whole weekend. What's up, my brother? You time to walk down the street and get a sound?
Yeah, actually,
good. This is a nice little shop right down the street. Cool.
Thank you.